every day. All we owe, he bears it as his own. Rotten life, we are free to live in Christ alone. Our God is high and lifted up. It is the cross, my only plea. The blood he shed delivers me.
Good morning. Stand on up. He's risen. The tomb is empty. Two down. We stand. We stand and lift up our hands. For the joy of the Lord is our strength. Bow down and worship him now. How great, how awesome is he, and together we sing, and everyone we see. Holy is the Lord God Almighty, the earth is filled with his glory. God Almighty, Come on, church.
Everyone see, yeah. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory. The earth is filled with His glory. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives,
all fear is gone.
Burden to Calvary.
Amen.
Happy Easter, everyone. Hard to believe Easter's here, but we are glad that the first Easter happened. Amen? Amen. All right. Wayne, got anything?
Well, you know, so this time of year, you know, I was talking to folks after the first service, and, you know, the older I get, the more I understand the story. You know, I think when you're a child, you kind of look at this story of, like, the crucifixion and resurrection is, like, in these terms, it's not really real. The older you get, the more you understand the details of this awesome gesture of grace that God bestowed on us. And it's like, you know, we think about the magnitude of what it was like to watch your son be nailed to a cross, and then the power and grace and glory of resurrecting him from the dead. And then what happened after that, the 40 days after, was like the most telling part of the whole story. Because you think about, you know, if it ended on Sunday, he rose up, that's all good. But if he didn't come back and teach disciples to continue on, they would have died in the tomb. We wouldn't be here today standing as a community in Christ, you know, today, if it wasn't for that. So I give thanks for that. Thank you, Lord, for the power of the cross. Amen. And your grace.
Amen. And Wayne was talking about the power of the cross the other night. We had our Good Friday service, and many of you were here, and many of you joined online. And one of the things that I shared in that was a hymn story. Some of the great writers of the old hymns have gotten a bad name in today's praise and worship generation, but they understood what it meant to be a follower of Christ, and the words are so powerful. And one of those was written only about an hour from here in Baltimore. There was a minister who was giving a pastoral prayer, and a lady was sitting there, and she wondered in the choir loft, and she was wondering why he was taking so long. I know you guys have never done that in this church, but she was just asking, and then she started to just think about Jesus and what he had done for her. And she began to, Elvina was her name, and she begins to write and hear these words in her head, and she began to want to put them down, but she had no piece of paper. And back then, of course, they didn't have screens, but they had hymnals. How many remember hymnals? All right, with the and they always had a blank sheet of paper in there. And so she did what a good Christian would not do, begin to write in a hymnal of a church. And she began to write these words: I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. And she continued further and said, and this chorus just kept coming to her, because Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, and he washed it white as snow. After the service was over and she had penned several of them, I don't know whether she paid attention at all to the message, but she took it and she took the hymnal and gave it to the pastor. And he looked at this poem that she had written, and a week or so before, one of the music ministers and music people there had given him a tune. And the minister listened to it and thought it was of no value. And when he saw the words that Alvina had put down right up here in Baltimore, I don't think the church even exists anymore, went ahead and he put them together, and they matched absolutely perfectly. And the song, Jesus Paid It All, is a song that people have been singing for hundreds of years, all because someone heard the voice of God. So my prayer for you today is that you embrace the fact that Jesus did pay it all. And he gave his life up on a cross, and on Sunday he rose again. And that my prayer is that you also hear the voice of God here today. Amen.
Strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. 'Cause Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Left a crimson stain, he washed it white. Jesus died, my soul to save. My lips shall still repeat.
Sing it.
'Cause Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. He washed it white as snow.
Through the storm, he is. this cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, what fears are still when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid, here in the death of Christ I live.
God, you've already been ministering here with your Holy Spirit, and we just thank you for that same Spirit that raised you from the dead, is here and present with us today, and lives in each one of us who believe and call on the name of Jesus. And so, God, this day is all about you. May we live that way, that we focus on you and have what you have for us here today. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. At this time, our children go to our Shoreline Sunday School ministry, and everybody else can say hi to each other, and happy Easter. All right. Happy Easter. Okay, awesome to have you here. Okay, here we go. Sonia has asked for a happy birthday to Cooper. Is it today? Yay, Coop. 16.
Yeah. All right. Yep, look out. All right. Continued prayers. Zach Ross has asked for continued prayers for Aunt Betty as she battles with lung cancer, and prayers for Uncle Donald, who is having emergency brain surgery on Monday. Judy has asked for prayers continued for Earl for peace and guidance. We also had wanted to lift up prayers. They were here this morning. The Juergens family, particularly, we're talking about Steve Juergens. His father passed away, and so they had the visitation yesterday. They were going to have a funeral and memorial service tomorrow. So I know some of you know Noah, and that's his grandfather, so we want to lift them up in your prayers as we have that. And many of you may know from growing up in this area, ask that you lift up prayers for Donna Marie Young, her family, as Donna passed away at the age of 38, and we want to lift up her parents, Wayne and Donna. Many of you know Wayne Young and Donna Woods, so we want to lift them, that whole family, in your prayers during this difficult time. All right, do we have any others to lift up on the prayer list? Yes. Okay. So Ralph, who has myeloma, we want to go ahead and lift him up in your prayers. Others? Yes, go ahead.
Please pray for my friend, Pastor Bruce Erger. His dad went to the hospital this morning with seizures.
Okay, so a friend of yours, father, went with seizures. We'll lift it up. Anyone else? All right, so continue to keep them. We're going to pray for them in a bit. We do want to welcome everybody here, whether you're visiting online, or whether you're part of our Facebook Live church. We're glad that you're here today. Happy Easter to everyone. You can see some information things in here. Today we are beginning our study. It's going to go through the end of May. It's called Hope Rising, and if you want to be part of that, there's several ways. We have several different groups. Many of them are meeting on Tuesday. There are Sunday morning ones as well, and we are also going to have an online option this time if you'd like to participate in online. The books are $11, and if you're worried about a lot of reading, it's not a ton, but it's a great, great series, and we're going to launch that, and every sermon and message is going to be leading with that as well. So if you're interested in that, we do have some clipboards. Are they in the back today, Debbie? So you can also see the information if you'd like to be part of that. And please specify if you'd like to be part of online, because we have some other complications that we got to make sure that works out in there. But please plan to do that. Also, the National Day of Prayer, we're going to have a video next week about that. We'll also put it online. But we are not going to have a service here this week, but we are going to be interspersed in different areas for prayer. And so please start praying for that. You can see in your insert, the green prayer. We ask that you begin to join everyone in prayer for that on May the 4th. Monarch Ministries, we want to say a thank you for Monarch Ministries. You raised $800 to help support them. So that is helps fund 40 days of sober living for someone in our community who is in need. And so you know we have a horrific problem with addiction and other kinds of things. So thank you. And you can keep giving to that regularly if you would like as well. The other thing, you have an insert here that we are doing a mission trip. Our church is doing a mission trip. To Haiti. Haiti is one of the poorest, or if not the poorest, in our hemisphere. And so we are going to Haiti. You can see the dates, August 5th through August 11th. You still have time to go ahead and sign up. Next week, there's going to be an informational session about that. But if you want to talk to someone, and I don't care whether it's your first time walking in the door, if God's laid on your heart and says, hey, I want to be part of that, it can be family and kids. We can do it all. It's a great opportunity to go ahead, and we're going to be doing that with Praying Pelican Ministry, and you can see some of the other things. Who can go? All ages, and children under 12 need an adult with them. But I don't think anything will change your heart more than if you go on a mission trip and see how fortunate and blessed we are in this country. So, you know, it's not that long away, but we can do this. If Dad used to tell me what God orders, he pays for. So we can be praying for that mission, and again, next week, we'll have some more information. Christmas in April, full of volunteers, but if you want more information, they can go ahead and see you, right, Bob? Okay, that's great. All right. Parish Foundation. Parish Foundation, we are serving today, and I'm glad to say that you guys filled in those opportunities, as we like to share here, and that's going to be great as you bring a great Easter meal and love to the homeless in our community. And we thank God for that. Our next time will be May 21st. okay? So those are our announcements. Easter lilies today, I just wanted to touch on some of those. Carol Henson left in memory of Arthur J. Henson, Betty Harper in memory of John and Clara Harper, Hope Russell in memory of John and Betty Moore, and also Jim Russell Sr., Cohen Forsman family for Lester and Fern Forsman, Robert Nichols in memory of Patricia Nichols, Bonnie Racine in memory of Tom Racine, June and Christopher Alexander in memory of Scott Paul Alexander, and Gary and Liz Ashby have them in Reuben in memory of Reuben and Bertha Hittman, in memory of George and Audra Myers, and in memory of Chester and Libby Ashby. The Adams family, also in memory of Brinley Kate Adams, and Carol Lynn DeBray, I know I messed up that name, sorry, in memory of Patricia Wilson Barnard. The Coens for the Forsman family the Cohen Forsman family in honor of Connie and Joanne Cohen, and Joanne and Connie Cohen in honor of Jill's 50th birthday, and in honor of Superman Jack Cohen's birthday. I'm holding on to 45 for another couple hours. All right. So want to thank you. We will make sure those are online so that people can give testimony to those. All right, you ready to go to our prayer time now? Heavenly Father, we come to you today once again in such awe in your great love for us. And so, God, in your great love for us, as the Scripture says, in all our trials we are not consumed, that with your great love you lift us up, that for the joy set before you, you took the cross. You were innocent, but you paid our price. And Lord, on that early Sunday morning, so long ago, you rose again and forever changed the world. And so, God, we approach you right now for some people who need some life change. Some people who are having surgeries and dealing with diseases. We have people who are dealing with loss and addiction. We have people who just are dealing with depression and all kinds of other things. Whatever it may be that we bring to the table here today, the message that we're going to share today and for the next couple months is going to be this, that there is hope, and our hope is found in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. For God, as the Scripture says, if Christ did not die and if he didn't raise from the dead, then we are the worst of all fools and we're wasting our time. But, oh, Jesus, you did raise from the dead. You didn't leave us orphaned, but you gave us your Holy Spirit. And, God, that Holy Spirit that dwells in this place today is the same Spirit that lifted you up from the dead. It's the same one that goes through your church and throughout your world to make a difference. And so, God, I want to thank you for blessing us that we have freedom to worship, as last week, many of our Christian brothers and sisters just went to celebrate Palm Sunday in Egypt, and they lost their lives, and others were injured. So we thank you for that freedom that we have here, but let us not forget our brothers and sisters who don't have that. Let us not forget our brothers and sisters around the world who, as we celebrate our Easter dinners today as families, don't have anything to eat. And God, let us not forget the blessings that we have. And so at this time, God, we are going to give back to you as an act of worship. Take your tithe and our offerings. And may they be acceptable to you. May we give with a cheerful and grateful heart. And may you anoint them and multiply them and change the world as you did so long ago when you came out of that tomb. And may we be found faithful in you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
So I'll cherish.
trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
Happy Easter, everybody. Today's scripture reading is from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. It's titled, Praise to God for a Living Hope. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith and shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time.
Welcome to Haven. Today we are starting our series called Hope Rising. And just real quick, how many of you need some hope? Anybody? If you don't, hit the person next to you and say, come on, raise your hand. You're in church, you got to raise your hand. All right. No, I think we all like hope, and that's what this Easter service is all about. How many of you ever had a couple days where things just kind of went really, really bad? Anybody? How many had, like, maybe a couple days after, things got really, really good? Anybody have any of those things? All right. So I mean, sometimes you just have days that things aren't going well at all, and it just seems like no matter what you do, you can't do anything right, and you get frustrated. And then when you follow it up with a day, that, like, if there's a day in between or something, you think, like, it's got, anybody ever get into a pattern that you think is going to be a pattern of your life? Like the whole Murphy's Law kind of living. I remember I was just thinking about this the other day, and I was thinking about the other year when I woke up and I had that pain, like here, and I thought it was like a gas pain, and I know that's what you came to hear on Easter Sunday about my gas pain, all right? So you can now go home and enjoy my gas pains. But it wasn't a gas pain. It was worse, and I called Melissa. She was at work, and it was just like really painful, and I'm like, ah. You know, and then you try to go with it for a day longer or something, and guess what? It, you know, it just seems like I remember saying, I just want to die. This pain is so horrible. It's horrific, and I just am done. Anybody ever been there, like, with something like that? And then you finally go to the hospital, and they give you this thing called morphine, and it's like, ooh, this is not bad. I have no pain. It's wonderful. But then when they take that away, it comes back again, and then it's worse again. And then it's, you know, I remember this went on back and forth, like in a couple days sessions, until they did surgery and it was out. And I was like, this is great. I don't feel it at all. I had my gallbladder out. Anybody ever have that? You guys are saying, how did gas cause that? No, it was. I had my gallbladder out the other year, and I was like, it was so painful. It was one of the worst pains I've ever had. But I was thinking about this, that the Easter story is not about one day. We celebrate Easter as one day, but it's really about 3 days. You have a three-day story. You have Friday, you have Saturday, and you have Sunday. You have on Friday trouble, because Jesus is being crucified. You have Saturday, which is silence, and then you have Sunday, which is deliverance. You have a beginning and a middle and an end to the story. You have a death, a burial, and a resurrection. Now I want to show you something up here. Look at this kind of Easter card that I found here. I feel hollow inside. And I'd say, isn't that fitting? Very fitting. Here he is right here. Look, there he is. He feels hollow inside. There he is. And I remember my grandmother used to always buy these for us. I mean, even when I was in my 30s, she still bought them for me. And I was like, if I didn't get that for Easter, I was upset, you know. And they've gradually shrunk over the years. Have you noticed that? Now they put them with a big ear, so the ears are like this big and, you know, like that. But I was like, they used to be really big, and you'd always end up breaking them up. You know, so how many break them up? How many always bite off the head first? How many bite off the tail? Oh, you don't want to raise your hand. You're afraid people will judge you. I got it. Okay. So, but, you know, we end up having these. And so some of us can relate to what he's saying here, right? We can relate that I feel hollow inside. You know, we all relate that way. Because, like, maybe you can remember, like I can in points of my life. How many remember when life didn't work out the way you thought it would? Anybody ever have a moment or two or 10 or 100 billion that life just did not turn out the way you wanted it to or the way you thought? How many of you had a game plan for life and it just took a complete turn? Maybe you had an illness or someone died that you loved dearly. Maybe there was a terrifying diagnosis and your life became no longer about your freedom and plans for the future, but it became about IVs and specialists and and hospitals. Maybe your shattered dreams came in the form of divorce papers. That marriage that you thought was going to last forever is shattered. Or maybe you had jobs and you were living well, and then all of a sudden financial disaster happened. Or you gave someone money and trusted them and you ended up in financial ruin. Maybe you thought you'd be married right now, and if you raise your hand, we'll kind of match you up today. But no, I'm just joking there. But maybe you thought you'd be married right now, have a family, have kids, and you're wondering, what's happening here, God? Maybe you trained in several years of college, maybe you trained to be an engineer, and nobody's hiring, and you're wondering what you're going to do. You probably all had it planned out in your mind how life was going to go. You dreamed of the perfect house, the perfect spouse, the perfect 2.3 kids. And it's that 0.3 that will send you over the edge. Nobody ever grows up and says, you know what, I'm going to pay lots of money for school and graduate school, and then I'm going to be unemployed. No one ever says, I'm going to get cancer by the age of 41 and struggle, and that will eventually take my life. No one says, after 28 years working at a place, I'm going to get fired or laid off and not have any place to go. No one plans on dealing with being alone or depressed at the age of 30 or even 20. And no one ever plans on being divorced twice by age 45. Nobody ever thinks when they give birth and have that child that they're going to have to one day go visit that child in a prison or try to pray to God and have everything else they can do to try to get that child to get off the struggle of addiction. No one ever plans for these things in life. And I got to tell you something. When you're young, you never think about getting old. And I want you to do something when you go home today, because guess what? Old man wrinkle comes to all of us. You ever look in the mirror and get up and go, it's a little more weathered than it used to be. You know who says, like, when you get a little gray in your hair that it looks distinguished? People with gray hair. But go ahead and open your yearbook. Take out your yearbook and pick one of those early days, like when you're a freshman or sophomore, and hold it up next to you in the mirror. And you will get very depressed. All right? Or you may be thankful that you're not wearing those same clothes that you once did. You see, because as you get older, your skin begins to shrivel and gets age spots on them. Your hands, one day you look down and you see your father's hand or your mother's hand on your wrist, and you wonder, how'd that get there? Your hair stops growing in the areas it's supposed to and starts to boldly go where no one goes before. Matter of fact, I have told my wife and children that if I get to a point where I can't do that myself, and I have no hair growing out of my nose and my ears, if they don't shave it, I will come back and haunt them. I have promised them this, and God has granted it to me. I know. He told me. All right. What do you call these times in life when we feel like we've lost hope? When you feel like this bunny all hollow inside, and life doesn't turn out the way you planned? I want to call them today the Saturday experiences of life. You see, because for the disciples, hope is dead on Saturday. The Easter story, Saturday is completely filled with dead hope. You know, it's unusual that this story, this narrative, is a three-day story. But the thing, even though it's a three-day story, we don't know much at all about the middle part of the story. You know, usually when you have a story, that's the meaty part, right? In this one, it's the one that is nothing hardly there. Because if we go to Good Friday, on Friday we learn that Jesus was beaten. He was arrested. He was beaten. He was nailed to a cross. He suffered. And we can go through every single thing. There have been series of sermons about the last words of Christ. Just the last words that he said. Not alone. Everything else going around it. And we have that. And then we come to Easter Sunday, the resurrection, and we have stories of angels and disciples running to the tomb and Jesus appearing to people here and there. We have a great amount about that. But Saturday, we have nothing. Nothing at all. Saturday is just an in-between day. You see, Good Friday left them crushed, shocked, angry, confused, and yet Saturday left them hopeless. The one they put their faith in has died. Look at what it says right here after Friday. This is what we have on Saturday. Going to Pilate, this is about Friday. He asked Joseph of Arimathea, for the body of Jesus. Then he took it down, wrapped it in a linen cloth, and placed it in a tomb, cut in the rock, one in which no one had yet been laid. It was preparation day, and the Sabbath was about to begin. Now, what we find out in Jewish culture, the Sabbath starts at sundown on Friday. All right? So you can do nothing at all. So Jesus died on Friday around 3 o'clock. It doesn't leave you much time to prepare a body for burial. Joseph goes, give me the body. They give it to him, and they kind of do a hurried wrap and say, we'll come back on Sunday. We'll come back 3 days later. They're distraught. They can't even prepare his body the way they wanted to. And so all day they're probably thinking, what's going on here? You see, for them, all hope is dead. Now, how many of you remember the name Mel Blanc? Remember, where's he from? Looney Tunes. Looney Tunes, the voice of Bugs Bunny and everybody else. And what did Porky Pig always say? Bia, that's all, folks. And when Mel Blanc died, his family put this on his tombstone. That's all, folks. Man of 1,000 voices that he's known about. And for the disciples, Saturday for them was, that's all, folks. No hope. Even when he was walking on the road to Emmaus later, he's talking to people and they said, we had hoped that he was the one. But he suffered and he died. And now we have no hope. They even said that to Jesus on the road. You see, it's over. It's done. That's all, folks. Jesus is in the tomb. I'm sure they were paralyzed on Saturday, wondering, is God in control? The disciples were in hiding, saying, did God forget his promises? Does God know, or does he even care, or does he care at all? Does he have the power to do anything about that? And many of us in our Saturday experiences have done the exact same thing and asked those same questions. You see, the reason why Easter Sunday is so good is because Saturday was so bad. Every ounce of hope was crushed. On Saturday, Jesus' dead body was sealed in a tomb. And we don't find one person that believed he was going to resurrect from the dead. Not one. Like it wasn't John said, oh, I know Jesus is in the tomb, but I got to get dressed up tomorrow because I got to get my running sandals on because I got to make sure I get there to the tomb first and greet him when he comes out because I got several questions to ask him. No, not him. Not Peter, who denied him and was away from the disciples. Not Mary Magdalene, wondering whether she should put on her best bonnet. Remember Easter bonnets? Okay, man, she put on her best bonnet and her best clothes to get to the tomb because he's going to be in the garden. He's going to talk to her, and it's going to be awesome. Not one of them ever put any credence in the fact that Jesus was going to raise from the dead. The disciples were in a total meltdown in hiding. Everything they had left for is now crushed. This isn't Sunday. It isn't Friday. It's Saturday. And we've all had our Saturdays where we felt powerless and can't believe. Some of you, your Saturday experience may have been, I can't believe he or she walked out on me. Others, it may be, I can't believe that the treatment is not working. I can't believe you're telling me all my savings that I've worked hard for years is completely gone. I can't believe that I'm dealing with addiction and can't get over it. I'm powerless to deal with it. You see, Saturday is the day after and also the day before. The day after, a prayer gets prayed, but nothing is said. The day after, a soul gets crushed, but there's no promise of it ever coming back up. And as I look at this, there are two types of hope, two kinds of hope I want to share with you. And we all do this. The first one is one in which we place our hope in something. And the other one is where we place our hope in someone. When you're hoping for something, you hope for a particular outcome, a circumstance to work out the way you want. They may be things like this. I hope I get that job. Or I hope I get that house. Or I really hope I get that girl. Or I hope I get that girl and I hope she gets that job so we can get that house. Sometimes we hope for something. We hope even though it's a long shot and a remote shot of even getting it. And I'll share with you an example. As many of you know, I'm a Philadelphia Eagles fan. And every year, I hope. You know it's bad when you get excited about pre-draft stuff. And you hope. And every year I hope that one day, the skies will part and the Lord will come down and the Eagles will have a parade signifying to us a Super Bowl championship and I will gloat like a sucker has never gloated in my life. However, I've spent many more Saturday experiences as an Eagles fan. And you know, the secret to being an Eagles fan is the same secret to parenting teenagers. Lower your standards. It's the only thing that gets you through this. Of course, Donovan McNabb will lead us there. 5 NFC championships. No. Sometimes the things we hope for are fun, like football and baseball and our Final Four brackets. Anybody do well? Of course not. All right? But some things we hope for are serious. And I hope she or he comes back. I hope my child calls me because I haven't talked to them in years. I hope that it's not cancer like they say it is. But one day, if it's not cancer, it'll be something else. We all are not immune to Saturday experiences in our lives. Here's one thing I can say to you is one day, and this is the truth, that everything we hope for will eventually disappoint us. Every circumstance, every situation that we hope for is going to wear out. It's going to give out. It's going to fall apart. It's going to melt down, go away. And that's the problem that we have in hoping in something. I want to show you an incredible verse from 1 Peter chapter 1. It says, "Praise be to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Now, I want you to notice the two words here that I have underlined for you. What are they? Hope and resurrection. I looked up the word in hope in the New Testament. The word hope in the New Testament is listed there 71 times. But guess what? It is only listed one time before the resurrection. Only once. What I'm here to tell you is if you want real hope, genuine hope, it only comes from the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, that may sound like a nice little kind of theoretical thing, but I want to show you a video of a lady named Jan where she shares a little bit about this.
I just remember a time just a few years ago when I got laid off a job. And that was not actually the first time that it happened, but it came at the heels of lots of other things that had happened in my life. I had been divorced. I'd lost both of my parents at different times, but was just feeling very alone. There's something different when you lose your parents. It doesn't matter how old you are. And that made me feel alone. The divorce made me feel alone. So I think when I got to the point where I lost my job, it was sort of like the last straw. Like, just really nowhere else to turn. But fortunate for me, I was able to turn into good friends. I had good friends who cared about me, who would ask me out and, you know, buy me lunch. And not only that, I really turned to God and really just trusted him. And through it said, even if I just remain alone this way for the rest of my life, I still always have you. And no matter what happens through this, that's where I want to end up. I want to end up holding on to God, and I want you to make me the person that I need to be through this. And the most amazing things would happen. Not kidding. First time in my life, I had a package at the door that contained $400 worth of gift cards anonymously. Never had that happen. I started seeing God show up, and he proved to me that I was not alone. I would never be alone.
See, this is a difference about putting your faith in something and your hope in something rather than putting your faith in someone. She began all those things that she put her faith in and her hope in, those things, every single one of them failed her. Her job, her marriage, and other things. But when she put her hope in someone, his name is Jesus, it all changed. When your hope is in God, you can have hope in the midst of your trials and your crisis. Your hope is not based on your marital status. Your hope is not based on your employment and career success. Your hope is not based on what the stock market does or doesn't do. Your hope is not based on your physical health. It's not based on what others think of you or whether your life turns out the way you think it should. Your hope is based on a powerful, in-control God who can do the impossible. That is the message of hope today. We have a God who defeated death. You see, the message of Easter is all about this, that God does his best work in hopeless situations. You have to remember that Easter is not a one-day story. It's not a two-day story, but it's a three-day story. It's about Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. It's about trouble, silence, and deliverance. It's about beginning, middle, and end. It's about death, burial, and resurrection. You see, when on Saturday, as we said, they were crushed and they had no hope. But look what happened, as Luke tells us in Luke 24 in your bulletins. On the first day of the week, on Sunday, very early in the morning, the women took the spices that they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone was rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. And in their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, he is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of the sinners and be crucified and on the third day rise again?" Notice that last phrase there. He be crucified and on what day? The third day be raised again. Now the last thing I want to do is make this nice and simple and have you on a countdown about days. But is it possible that your third day story that you're living in right now is just really only on the day two? That the hope that you have lost right now, you're just waiting to get to Sunday. I want to share with you some people in this Old Testament scripture. And I want to share with you from the Bible some people in the Old Testament who had third day experiences. When Abraham is afraid he's going to have to sacrifice Isaac, he sees that a sacrifice will save his son's life. And guess what day that God provided? On the third day. Joseph's brothers get put in prison and they're released by Pharaoh on what day? The third day. The Israelite spies are told by the prostitute Rahab to hide from their enemies and they'll be safe on the what? Third day. The mountains shake and the rivers are parted and the people go into the promised land. Guess what day? On the third day. I want to share with you another brief video about someone who went from their second day to their third day. And he's a guy named Greg.
Growing up, prayer was usually my way of getting my wants fulfilled and my needs fulfilled by God. And really nothing too much more than that. And I had encountered a moment in my life, really a season, where that container of prayer was not going to give me any hope for the future. During this same season, I had some surprises in my life. I ended up the pastor of a church, which I did not expect happening in my life. I had a couple kids and all the surprises and change that having a family and being a dad brings you. And then in the midst of that, some marital difficulties that I didn't fully comprehend at the time were brought to my attention by my wife. And she had reached a point where she didn't see our marriage continuing. And being blindsided by this stuff, I found myself finding prayer being almost impossible. I would just go to the beach and I would just sit and I couldn't even look God in the eye. I just sat and hope was seemed to be gone. I just saw dark and I would just hang my head in his presence and did not know what to say. God began to turn that through a quirky little circumstance I had with my son, who was a toddler. I loved to throw him up in the air and catch him, and he'd laugh at me, and I would just throw him up in the air. And one time I was doing that in our condo, and up and down he went. And one time I threw him just a little too high, and his head hit the popcorn ceiling, and he went down into my hands a little quicker than the last time. And I looked at him, and he had a little popcorn in his hair, and he looked at me, and I could tell he was looking at me saying, "Okay, do you want me to cry? Or do you want me to laugh again?" and he was gauging his response by the expression on my face. And in that moment where I realized the influence I had, I just looked back at him and I smiled and laughed again. And he looked back at me and repeated it back, and it was fine. It was then that I started to wonder if I just needed to pick up my head and look into the face of my Heavenly Father and gauge with my soul's eye, what is the expression on his face right now as he's looking at me? And when I did that, I saw that there was no stress in his face, no worry, that there was no surprise. He's incapable of being surprised. That I was right where he knew I was, that he was walking right there with me, and he knew the end from the beginning. He knew that I would have another child. He knew that I would spend 2 decades of incredible ministry being the pastor of that church, and that today I'd be married 27 years in a marriage to the same wonderful woman, and that it would never be sweeter than it is right now.
Like Greg, many of us are hollow inside. On our Saturday, I feel hollow inside. When he was going through the loss of his marriage and all kinds of other things, there was nothing filled. His prayers were just going nowhere, according to him. But it's when he began to refocus and see what God could do that everything changed. You see, the problem with our third day stories is this. Much like Greg, we don't realize we're in the third day until we are in the third day. We get so caught in the second day that we don't know that a third day is coming. Some of you are waiting for your third day right now, and you're not sure if it's even on the way. I want to share with you a story about a pastor. He's an African-American pastor in Inglewood, California, to a large, predominantly African-American church. And his name is Ken Ulmer. And Ken Ulmer told this story about this painting that we're going to put up here. It's a painting called Checkmate. And he told a story of two friends who went to a museum and looked at this painting. They began to look, and one of them who was with them was an international chess champion. And as they began to look at this painting that's here, you see one man with the feather in his cap has depicted horns and is given like an evil kind of look and is supposed to represent the devil or evil. And the other man is obviously very confused and upset and worried on his face, as you can see right there. And the title is called Checkmate, as I said. And so this one man sat there, and he began to look, and he started looking, and he sat there for an hour looking at this painting, and he said, I don't know what's going on, but something's not right. His friend said, well, let's go look at some of the other paintings and things. And he said, I'm going to stay here. You go on. And he went, and the man walked through the whole museum, came back in an hour or so, and his friend was still staring at this painting. He said, there's something not right. I can't put my finger on it, but something is not right. There's something wrong here. He said, you go on. I'm going to stay here a little while longer until I find it out. And he looked and he looked and he looked and he looked some more. The friend walked away, and eventually he came back again and he saw his friend running to him. He said, I got it. We've got to contact the artist. He's got to do one of two things. He's either got to change the name or else he's got to go ahead and redo the painting. It's wrong. He said, you see, you know, I'm an international chess champion, and I've been sitting here for hours looking at this, and I finally figured it out. You see, the man who is there, and it looks like he's got checkmate, if you really, really look hard, the king has one more move. When Pastor Ulmer gives this in an African-American church, when they heard the king has one more move, they all erupted. You didn't. But I'm here to tell you something today. In the midst of your day two Saturday experience, the king has one more move. When a little boy named David came to face a giant named Saul, and Saul tried to put his armor and everything else on him, David said, I can't use this. And he went with what he had, and he had some smooth stones from a stream and a sling, and he went there and faced a giant who taunted him. And David said, the king has one more move. When we look at a man named Daniel, who refused to go into culture that would suck him down into an area that would be an abomination to his God, and everybody turned against him to the point where they threw him in a lion's den, where he would surely be torn to shreds. The king put him in there, and the next day, with all hope lost, said, Daniel, are you there? And he said, oh, yeah. The king had one more move. When we look at people like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who were thrown into a fiery furnace that was so hot that when the people threw them in, they died. But the king turns and looks back there and sees four in there, and they say, hey, the king has one more move. When Moses convinced the nation of oppressed slaves to make this journey to the point where they come to the Red Sea, and Pharaoh's army, the greatest army of its time, is pressing in on him. And the people began to yell, what wasn't Egypt good enough for us to die in? Why did you bring us out in this desert? And you're standing between the sea and the devil incarnate right here under Pharaoh coming after you to kill you. Moses said, wait a second. The king has one more move. What I'm here to tell you today is in your Saturday experiences, in your hollow emptiness, I want to tell you something. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords has one more move in your life. Don't go away today not recognizing that Jesus has one more move. When the disciples were distraught, guess what? The king had one more move. You may be facing a stress in work that you never have. You may be in a marriage that's falling apart or already falling apart. There may be a son or daughter or somebody that you love that is struggling and estranged from you. You may have financial pressures that you've never had before. You may have done the wrong thing or said the wrong thing or made a mistake that feels so big it will never be redeemed. Or maybe things are going pretty well right now and life's pretty good. But last time I checked, the death rate is at 100%. We're all going to die. And so what you need to know and what I need to know is simply this. No matter what you're going through, no matter what crushed you on Friday, no matter what robs your hope from you, you can have hope because the king has one more move. The king has one more move. As our worship team comes up today, and I conclude this service, I want to read this section about how our hope is not in a thing, but it is in a someone. And Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 19 through 20. I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe in Him, who believe Him. And this is the same mighty power that raised Jesus from the dead. I want you to look at that verse again, because a lot of times we've heard this story so much, we kind of like sanitize it and we get used to it. Did you get that? The same mighty power that raised Jesus from the dead is now at work in you. In all of us? No. For those who believe. There's some of you here, you know you need this message. You know that if you really take a stock at your life, that many of us may be going through a Saturday experience. Some of you may be saying, I have never had a third day experience with Christ. I've heard this story, and I know that there's Easter, and I know there's a celebration, and I know it's about a resurrection, but I have never accepted that for myself in my life. Today, let that be your third day, because the King has one more move in your life. Some of us have taking that gift of love from God, and we remember what He did for us on Friday, and yet because of life is so filled full of Saturdays, we keep finding ourselves back in Saturdays until we get to the point where we have no hope once again. But there is hope. The King has one more move. And so what I want you to do here today is just stand where you are. Go ahead. Just stand where you are, and I'm going to I'm going to be old school churchy right now. Because a lot of times we just don't need something new. Sometimes we just need to get back to the basics of what the cross is about. About our Lord who suffered and died, not for anything he did, but because you and I are a mess. Because we have stuff in our lives that separate us from God. We have stuff in our lives that separate us from others. And we put our, maybe have put our faith in Christ, and then somehow Saturday happened and we're left hopeless anymore. So with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I'm going to lift up a couple people. I'm going to say, Lord, I just believe that somebody here or somebody watching today is saying in their hearts, I'm tired of Saturday. I feel hollow inside. I'm hollow. There's nothing there. On the outside, it looks great, but I'm hollow. And I need you to fill me. I need that resurrection power from the Holy Spirit to come in my life. I don't understand what that means, but what I know is that your presence is awesome and I need it. If that's you, just raise your hand right where you are right now. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. And there's other people who you got this God thing down for a while, but man, you can't do it anymore because it's rough. It's breaking you apart. You've seen people die. You've seen people in addiction that you love and care about. You feel like running, but you don't know where to run, so you lock yourself away, much like the disciples did. Hear what God wants to say to you today. The King has one more move in your life. The King has one more move in that person that you've been praying for. Don't stop. Don't give up. Don't ever give up, because the King always has one more move. If that's what you need, and you need a move from God in your life to get you right back on track or to get you on track, just raise your hand high and say, Lord, do that move in my life. There you go. Thank you, Jesus. Don't be ashamed to do it. Just go ahead and say, Jesus, I trust you. Thank you. So God, right now, I pray for everybody here in the sound of my voice. It's like the Easter bunny that's hollow. Fill them, Lord. Do your move in their life. And for this and all other things, we open up this altar here right now for people who are going to pray with them right now. And God, do your thing. Make your move as you did so long ago in a tomb in Jerusalem. It's empty. Amen. The altar is open if you would like to come and pray.
name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. There is power in the name of Jesus.
God just told me to let everyone know that one of the things about the third day experience is every chain breaks away.
Amen.
At the name of Jesus. At the name of Jesus, all hell shudders. At the name of Jesus, one day, every knee will bow and every tongue confess. So you better get used to it now. His name is Jesus. It's the greatest name ever because he paid the price for you. to break every chain. Break every chain. Don't go away from here today, because you don't know what tomorrow holds. You only know who holds the future. His name is Jesus. I just want you all to have an awesome, awesome rest of the day on Easter. And don't forget the reason that Jesus suffered, died, and rose again, that we may have eternal life with our Heavenly Father. He did it for you. Look at the person next to you and say, he did it for you. And so guess what? Next week, we're going to continue with our first full week of the series, where when life didn't go the way you thought it was supposed to be. All right? That's what we're going to talk about next week. All right? God bless. Happy Easter. Tell somebody happy Easter.
Amen.